You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week here in studio is Matt Kim.
Hello.
Joining us remotely are Sam Claiborne.
Hey, I think I speak for all of us when I say it's absolutely wizard to be here today.
And Mark Medina.
I'm here, Damon. I don't know what that means, but sure. It's wizard to be here.
We were just discussing... Now, hold on. So, Scoop Nation, Mark Medina has not seen neither Terminator or Terminator 2. Are you also revealing that you have not seen The Phantom Menace?
No, I've seen The Phantom Menace, unfortunately.
Okay.
Yeah, that's...
But it is unclear what wizard means in the movie.
Oh, I think it's good. I think it's supposed to be a good thing.
Yeah. People want to be cool. Wizard.
Yeah, yeah.
I think.
Wizard's a Jedi. We know that.
Space Jedi. You have Bantha Poodoo on the negative end,
yep.
And then
yep.
Wizard on the positive.
Yep, that's true.
Lingo.
Which I'm starting to
maybe
see
I new. Haven't seen Phantom Menace. None of this sounds familiar.
Really?
No, I have. I've definitely
seen
it. A new
rating scale is forming in my mind. Bantha Poodoo to Wizard.
How do you put
that? Nerf Herder's right in the middle.
That's what's his name? The evil pod racer says. What's
Sebulba.
That guy's name? Sebulba, yeah. Bantha Poodoo. In any case, we got a great show for you this week. We got to talk about some Fallout. Lots happening with Fallout. Although everything that could happen with Fallout, except a new game, is happening with Fallout right now. And we'll talk about some more. We'll get a Final Fantasy VII Rebirth update from Sam, and also discuss several signs seem to point to that game being a bit of a flop. We'll see. We'll dig into that in just a little bit. But first, Stellar Blade is out now. By the time you are listening this or watching this, IGN's review is out. Gave it a 7. A bunch of us have been playing it. Matt's been playing it. Mark's been playing it. I think the general consensus is everyone likes it.
Yeah.
Fun video game.
Mm. Fun video
game. I like it a lot.
He likes it a lot, even. Interesting.
Yeah.
Mark's big on it.
Well, I'm big on it.
The biggest question in my mind about this game, since it was revealed, was let's not beat around the bush. The big selling point of this game is that there's a very cute lady who's very front and center, star of the show.
Yeah.
Sometimes when developers go this route, there's not always gameplay to back it up. I'm thinking of your Oni Chambaras, your Lollipop Chainsaws, but that's not the case here. The gameplay is very fun. It's got really fun combat. Some cool exploration stuff, although I think everyone probably agrees the platforming is not great. Mark, since you like it a lot, tell us about Stellar Blade.
Yeah, it's this game, man. It's almost unfortunate, the controversy that this game is wrapped around, because, like, beyond anything you see in the trailers and whatever you think about Eve, there is a really great game here that, like, is just kind of like swept up in people not actually talking about the game itself. And so I definitely would like to live in a world where people actually, you know, play the game and tell me what you think beyond discourse. But yeah, I think the game is super fun. I've been thinking about this a lot over the past week. I'm prepared to say that it is my game of the year so far.
Oh my goodness.
As far as far as single player games go, Helldivers might be my actual still game of the year. I don't know. We're tied there. But it is by far my favorite like single player game of the year. I liked Rebirth, but I never beat it. I got about halfway through, and I was Nobody like, this has. Is just too – it's unbeatable. It just never ends.
That's true.
And I don't know. Rebirth felt like it was like, okay, I liked Remake, so now I have to play Rebirth. And that I never shook that feeling that I'm just playing it because I felt like I need to play the sequel. Stellar Blade, like, I couldn't put this game down. I went to L.A. I took a vacation right after we got the game, and I went to L.A. in the middle of that vacation, and I played – one of the days I played like 9 hours of the game because I wanted to beat it before I went to L.A. because I was like, I don't want to forget everything. The music – easily like the best of the year so far. The music is so good in this game.
And also the rare game that has music with vocals just while you're playing.
There's
just
someone singing. Yeah.
Well, that doesn't happen very often in games.
Yeah, it's definitely like a Nier Automata Bayonetta style that they're going for.
You just mentioned those two games. Now I heard from maybe you, but definitely from our staff, that it was more of a God of War game. It definitely is not a Souls-like, right? I want to clear the air there. Like, that was what we thought it might be going in. Is it like God of War?
In terms of what?
That's what people were saying. It's like, it's more like God of War than it's like Dark Souls.
Because you're like, is it an open world? No. But it has re-explorable areas. Yeah. And honestly, I liking it more to Rebirth than any of them because it's like
interesting. Okay.
The game trades like exploration, right? So it's like you're in a kind of a labyrinthy kind of like area where it's almost like Dark Souls where you're exploring, there's all these branching paths, and then next thing you know, you'll open a fence and you'll find out that you're back to where you were 30 minutes ago, and you're like, oh, okay, I opened a shortcut, and there's bonfires, and you can travel, in this game, they're camps, and you can travel between them using the phone booths and stuff like that, but then all of a sudden, it's like, now you're in an open world area, and you'll know you're there, because, like, Eve runs faster, she gets, like, a little bit of a boost, and you're less exploring every nook and cranny, and instead just kind of, like, doing side quests and just, I mean, you're still exploring, but it's like, it's not in the same vein. And then all of a sudden it's like, now you're back in a, like a linear kind of zone. And that's exactly how Rebirth kind of played as well. This
you
one only
to
has
go on a date with one of your party members.
No dates with party members. This game is lighter in that sense. It is kind of like God of War. Cause the cast is very small for this game. There's NPCs that you talk to, but for the most part, it's just Eve, Lily, and Adam are like the main characters that you see throughout the game.
Like, it's got a really cool design and style, like, beyond the playable character. Yeah. Like, the enemy design is very cool, and the creature design
really
is
gross.
Cool in this game.
Yeah,
they look great.
So and the thing is like, yes, Eve is like super sexualized and stuff like that, but her design is fantastic. She has over 40 costumes, and every single one, like, just seems so handcrafted for her that it really becomes this thing where you're like, every time you get a costume, you want to go and see what it is. Yes, they're all super sexy, but also just like they just all fit her super well. And
I would say they're all sexy. You get the bear one, you get the bear costume.
That could be sexy.
Spoilers, but yes, there is one bear costume out of the 40 that like I like it too, because there's the some sexy, like later ones where she's like literally in a bikini, and it'll be like, you know, you take 30% more melee damage and stuff
like
that.
There's like a penalty for that, right? Like,
yeah.
If you want to play that way.
Yeah. The only like negative I could see about Eve's kind of like sexualization is the fact that it's never really addressed. It's not like a thing that's crucial to the story or anything like that. It's just there. And to me, that's fine. That's what the developers wanted. it's there. Deal with it. Just every time Amanda walks into the room, I'm like, yep, I'm playing Stellar Blade again. Don't mind me.
Okay, Matt, I know you haven't finished it, but you're like, you might be at the point of no return.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I got, I mean, you know, just in video games nowadays, they do that thing where the character sort of is like, hey, just are you sure you want to go there? You might not be able to come back. Yeah. And so I just hit that part. Mm-hmm. And so I finally finished up all of the, I'm like, okay, well, I get the hint. So I went ahead and I did all the side quests that I could do. And so now I'm ready to progress through that part, but I haven't gotten past that yet. But no, I agree with Mark. It's one of those things where I picked it up and I just sort of like started playing it, and then I just couldn't stop playing it. And I think for me, my main thing is there's been a lot of RPGs at the beginning of this year, like Dragon's Dogma 2, the new Yakuza game, Like a Dragon, Final Fantasy VII. So I've been like playing all of those games. I've been really like going hard on the RPG stuff, and it's been nice to not have to think about like systems or upgrade. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's an RPG system in Stellar Blade, but it's really easy. Like, I've unlocked like all of the abilities without even really trying. And so it's just nice to just like turn my brain off, not really think about character building or party compositions or anything like that. And it's been a nice like palate cleanser before I go back to try and finish one of the RPGs that I left that I haven't finished yet.
Yeah, that's my case too. I like Stellar Blade a lot too. I was having a lot of fun with it, but now I cannot play anything except Balatro. That is the mode that I'm in. I cannot.
What a game.
Every free moment that I have for gaming goes into Balatro these days. I've got decks to unlock, Sam.
What are you playing Balatro on?
PS5.
I'm not much of a Switch guy. But that was the rare time where I played the demo on PS5. You get to play. I've never seen it. I don't play that many demos. I've never seen it like this, where it's like you just get an hour with the game, and then it just cuts you off. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is awesome. And I went and bought it on Switch. I'm not much of a Switch guy, but
what is that? To be mean, able to just play that Switch guy. What about arms?
What about arms?
Yeah, shit. My bad. I forgot. The world's biggest arms player. but man, Balatro is so good. A rare game where I started playing Saturday morning, and the next thing I know, it was Sunday night, and I had done nothing else.
No, I'm on PS5, but it's probably one of those games where I would happily buy it again on another console just to be able to start over again on a plane on my flight to Germany or whatever.
Yeah. Damn.
It's that good.
This episode of Game Scoop is brought to you by NordVPN. As Scoop Nation knows, your Omega Cops have been a little obsessed with a movie called Weekend at Bernie's lately. But as happens too often these days, it is difficult to find it streaming here in the US. That's where NordVPN comes in. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a more enlightened region where they appreciate the comic delights of Weekend at Bernie's. And it's not just for streaming movies and shows. Switching your virtual location can allow you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, and subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price. And you can do all this worry-free as NordVPN threat protection features protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. Best of all, NordVPN costs the price of a cup of coffee a month, and one account can be used on up to 6 devices. To get the best discount on your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/gamescoop. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/gamescoop. 1 in 5 Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Okay, let's move on to some Fallout. Obviously, the show is a huge hit. Mark has finished it. Yep. I have one episode left. Sam is four episodes deep. Where are you with
Fallout? I finished it.
You finished it as well. You like it as well?
I liked it. I liked it a lot. Yeah. I'm not a big Fallout guy. I've played 12 hours of every Fallout game.
Exactly 12 hours
of every Fallout game. And once I have a timer, I set it for 12 hours, and the moment it runs out, I'm like, well, I'm done. I got to drop this. It's just my way of saying I've played a lot of Fallout, but never really finished one. It's really, really good. I was pleasantly surprised by it. And I think one of the things is that I'm a big Westworld fan, but I kind of didn't think that sort of Westworldiness would translate over to Fallout. But it turns out Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy, the Westworld creators, are actually just executive producers, and the Fallout show has two different showrunners who come from, I want to say, one has an action background and one came from Silicon Valley, the TV show.
Ah, interesting.
And I think both of those like specialties really come out in Fallout, more so than the Westworld connection. And I think it really helps. It's a really funny and action-packed show.
Mark, you are a big Fallout fan. Were you happy with the show?
Yeah, when I first started, I watched the first episode, and there was like two things for me. One, it felt a little fan filmy. Everything was so clean, but that's because, I mean, it takes place mostly in the vault where things are supposed to be like squeaky clean. And I was like, okay. And then I'm a big fan of original Fallout music, not like 50s. I am a fan of that, but it's like I expected, you know, when the vault to open and they do the big scene of the vault door opening, I expected like dun, dun, dun. And there's just none. There's zero original Fallout music. And I was like, man, not to compare it to Last of Us, but like Last of Us legit had the person who made Last of Us music for the game for the show, right? And so it's like that same kind of soundtrack, but this is an original story, and then they do sneak in the Fallout music later. I think it's like the second to last episode. It's you start hearing the themes. After the first episode, I was like, okay, we'll see. And then from then on, I was like, nah, this is great. And then when the season ended, man, the final episode is so good. It is so, so good. I can't wait for season two. I love Walton Goggins, and I feel like you just never get enough of him. Like, I'm a big Gemstones fan. Mm-hmm. And so every Baby Billy episode, I'm like, I love him. I love him so much. But you just never get him that much. And he even said in one of his interviews, he's like, he's a guy who's like, you know him from something. You know him from the second Ant-Man movie or Tomb Raider or Django Unchained or stuff like that. And it's like, he finally gets that like huge spotlight, and he's so good in this show. I love it.
Mark, I've got good news for you. Have you ever seen The Shield?
No, never seen The Shield.
It was an FX show where Walton Goggins is one of the main characters, and it lasts for like 8 seasons, and he's in it a lot, and the show's great, and he's great, so you could get a lot of Walton Goggins that way.
I'm in. The show's pretty
hardcore. No one has watched The Shield. You watch The Shield? It's a pretty hardcore show. Some effed up stuff happens in that show. I highly recommend it. So the show is, the Fallout show is spurring a lot of interest in the back catalog of Fallout games. There's no new Fallout game coming for a very long time. That's okay. Just the other day, Bethesda announced 5 million people were playing Fallout games. Fallouts 1 through 4, New Vegas, 76, and even Fallout Shelter. And then Fallout 76 had a million players in it on its own, which is, you know, Fallout 76 famously had a very rocky launch, but it's kind of a comeback story, kind of like No Man's Sky, that sort of thing. But Mark, you like 76. You were saying whatever since the Wasteland update, is that what it
was? Yeah. It's the game launched and it was like, take it for what it is. And then they more or less rebooted it when Wastelanders came out, and that's when they went back on their, like, because the whole point of 76 is that it was the first vault to open, so there wouldn't be NPCs. There wouldn't be people setting up shop.
I want to pause here. Mark just explained this to me, and this is mind-blowing to me.
Pick up
yeah. Anyways, so yeah. Fallout 76 launched, no NPCs. I blew Sam's mind.
I just wanted to point out, like, how crazy that sounds, right? That, like, yeah. You know, the Fallout is about walking around, taking quests, and like discovering little trace elements of the storyline in the past. And 76 launched with, what was it, like emails, basically?
It was like audio logs. Basically, the overseer for 76 left, and you're following her trail of audio logs. That's basically all it is.
But this all lines up with them being like, hey, we have a new Fallout game coming out in 6 weeks or whatever when they did that. And we were like, what? Mm-hmm. And then it was like, oh, it's because we didn't record any dialogue of NPCs or include any of those choices, blah, 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 blah. So then years later, they added in all that stuff. So, like, that's what the Wastelanders is. It's literally adding in Wastelanders, which I think is so funny. But, like, and I was really grilling Mark about this earlier. Like, I really want to know, like, is this game as fun as playing Fallout 4 now, or is it just its own kind of simplified version? What do you think, Mark?
No, Fallout 4 is still leagues better. But they keep adding to it. It is kind of like No Man's Sky in a sense, where it's like they just keep adding expansions and stuff. The most recent that I played was, it seemed like they were trying to go to the Destiny route, where it was like, come do this, like, you know, this instance, this dungeon. And it ended with, like, you know, a big guy in power armor that we all had to fight together. It was not good. It was janky. It was whatever. And I'm like, you know what? This game has this weird, like, dedicated fan base where, not that they're weird, but it's like they're taking the approach of, like, they're all super helpful. It is not uncommon to, like, join the server and have someone in power armor run up to you and just, like, drop a bunch of items and just be like, welcome to the Wasteland type deal. I don't know. It's kind of weird seeing the whole, like, people love the show and they're jumping into naturally. Like, they're jumping into, like, Fallout 4 because that game is, approachable in the sense that it's, like, there's aimed down sights, there's sprinting, and it seems more modern. But then you have the people that are like, no, play Fallout 3. No, play Fallout New Vegas. And it's kind of weird, but it's kind of funny seeing all these, like, different entry points into the Fallout franchise. People, you know, just trying it for the first time.
Mark, wasn't Fallout 4 the first game you worked on for IGN?
It was. My IGN origin was, I had reached out to Sam and I was like, I could do gameplay capture and stuff like that, but I didn't know how to do much else.
You actually walked up to me in person.
Yeah, at an NVC Live.
I'm standing here, sir.
Yeah, and they had a video for Fallout in 5 minutes, and it was like, we need someone to come in and use save manipulations and someone to figure out playing Fallout 1 and 2. And so I came up to the San Francisco office. I did not live anywhere near San Francisco, and I stayed in a hostel. Yeah, San Francisco hostel on mission. So the fact that I'm even alive to tell this story is amazing. I worked up there for a week, and I played Fallouts 1, 2, 3 in New Vegas leading up to Fallout 4. And then 2 weeks later, I think it was Sam, was like, hey, do you want to come back up and play Fallout 4? And I came up, and I worked one day just getting, like, acquainted. And then the next day, it was like, here's Fallout 4. And that's what I did for 3 months, was just that game. Which is nuts, because it's like, we don't really cover games like that anymore. But this game was just a phenomenon that we stayed on it forever. It was awesome.
Well, it's a pretty big game. Are you going to play the current-gen upgrade?
Yo, 100%. Couple days ago, we needed something for Fallout 4, and I jumped into the PS4 version because that's where, like, my furthest save is. And instantly, I'm, like, running around Diamond City, and I was like, nah, I'm back in. We are so back. And so the patch is out now. I already downloaded it. I can't wait. I love Fallout 4. It's such a good game.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm back. Sam, are you going to find time to return to Fallout 4?
I mean, I would love to, but I'm not going to. I never beat Fallout 4, but I was just telling Mark, I got to very, very deep, difficult areas. So that's where mm-hmm. I like got my most satisfaction. I was like, I can kill anything in this game. Like that's always a good moment in Fallout. But then the length of time through the storyline to the end of the game was like starting to look pretty daunting to me. And I was like,
yeah.
But I did really like this game.
Did you ever make it to the Institute?
Oh yeah.
Okay, cool.
The twists and everything are all really neat.
Yeah.
Matt, will you put 12 hours into the current gen upgrade?
That's the plan. Yeah, I got the timer ready, and I'm ready to play 12 hours of this game, and then dip again. No, I'm excited. I did download Fallout 4 on my PC in anticipation of the update. I don't know if the update auto downloaded or whatever, but I plan on checking it out.
I would like to return to Fallout 4. I never finished it. Of course, there's the Bellatro of it all, but then there's also the Stellar Blade and the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth and the Unicorn Overlord. I still haven't finished that one yet either. But Mark, do you have any advice for me? The reason why I stopped playing Fallout 4, even though I loved it, I started to realize that I was getting these quests from one person, and I started to realize they're never going to stop giving me quests. I think they give me infinite quests. But like, I realized that it was like, wait a minute, what I want to do is just play this game, finish it, put it away, and move on to the next. But they're never gonna stop giving me quests.
Yeah, just follow the main story. The whole goal of the first, like, I don't know, 3/4 of the game is getting to the Institute, and you will have to use either the Brotherhood of Steel or the Railroad to do that, but it's like just try to mainline it. I honestly, that's kind of my advice for a lot of these people. Will say like the side content for something like Skyrim is the best, and it's like I agree, but also like just mainline it. Beat it, and then see if you want to keep playing it. Because there is infinite, almost, replayability. But I think the story is real good. Also, the Far Harbor DLC for Fallout 4 is fantastic. So if there's a world where Damon beats Fallout 4 and then makes it to Far Harbor, you'll enjoy yourself.
Okay.
The game I can't put down right now is still Mini Shoot Adventures, the Zelda-like shooter. It is so excellent. It is such a wonderful game. It's all I think about. It's all I want to play.
Wow. It's your Bellatro.
I'm like four dungeons in. Ugh. Yeah, but it's going to end at some point. Bellatro will never end. I'll never hear the end of it.
And I love Bellatro.
So Fallout show spurring, huge success for the older Fallout games. It wasn't just Fallout, though. The same thing happened with Last of Us last year. Back when Last of Us was airing, Jim Ryan said that every time an episode of that show dropped, sales of the game increased very dramatically.
Last of Us, I think there was an uptick after the Cyberpunk anime dropped on Netflix. I think people jumped back into Cyberpunk after that. And Witcher, right? Witcher game sales also jumped up after the first season of the Henry Cavill show. I'm sure the same thing happened to League of Legends after Arcane, but League of Legends is already so popular, so I don't know about that.
Yeah, we've all been playing Twisted Metal since.
So it worked. If you want to juice up your game sales, make a really, really good TV show about it.
And it turns out you don't need to make a new game. So it's like, what's crazy is that, time was, 10, 15 years ago, you could not put out a movie without a Game Boy Advance game. You had to put out your Game Boy Advance game.
I know.
Or at the very least of one for the the full round of GameCube, PS2, and Xbox. Like that was just like the way things were. And there was always a movie tie-in game. And now they're just putting out all these shows and stuff about video games, and there's no new game for them. It's so weird. It's such a weird time.
I mean, I think developers now have to ask themselves, why make a new game when a TV show will sell our old games?
I have a question, right? Because you don't see that happening with movies, right? Like anytime there's a new Tom Holland Spider-Man movie out, there's no news story about an uptick in sales on Insomniac's Marvel Spider-Man or Spider-Man 2.
Maybe because these mainstream, like prestige television shows are reaching new audiences who haven't experienced the games before.
Yeah, like I don't know. Does it only work with TV shows? And like,
I mean, that definitely would have happened with, like Witcher, Last of Us, and this. Like, I think it's reaching new audiences that haven't touched those games. Because one of the evidence points of that is that, like, we see people, starting from the beginning of the games, and, like, are the things that we're publishing that are doing well are for people that never touched these games before, which is awesome. That's, like, so cool, right? Is, like, people that are like, I don't know where to start. Where do I start?
I also think there's a little bit of a difference there where it's like Last of Us. Well, I mean, Last of Us is like shot for shot remake of the game, right? The first game. Witcher, not based on the games at all, based on right. the books, but most people don't really like. Geralt looks like Geralt, so it's, you know, to them it's based on the game. Fallout, very heavily based on the games, just an original story, where it's like Spider-Man movies literally have nothing to do with the Insomniac games. There's nothing there. The closest you'll get is they've put the Tom Holland and Sam Raimi costumes in the game. But other than that, it's like they couldn't be further disconnected.
Right. One way to look at it, though, is that Spider-Man does really well for Sony, right? They're making big sales numbers and stuff. Maybe it wouldn't do as well if Spider-Man wasn't the most popular thing in the world. But Spider-Man is so popular. It's hard to imagine anything bumping your sales when everything Spider-Man is so huge.
Yeah. Here's the other part of it to me. The Fallout show had a budget of $153 million. We know that Insomniac Spider-Man 2 from the leaks last year is more like $300 million. The budget spiraled up to $300 million. Right. So it cost half as much to make the Fallout TV show. And Bethesda didn't make it. Amazon paid Bethesda for the rights to make the show. And we know that their next Fallout game is years away. So I think this is the new route to hopefully success for big AAA companies. They can just keep, it's years and years to make their next game. They license out their property, they get money from that. And then when the show comes out, if it's good, people revisit their back catalog. That's injecting some cash flow into them so that they can keep developing the next Fallout game, which is years away.
Right.
You know what I want, Damon?
What's that, Mark?
I want... So, Tim Kaine and Leonard Boyarsky are very much still in the industry, right? They're making, Avowed and Outer Worlds 2. I want a new Fallout, not from Bethesda Game Studios, but in the vein of Baldur's Gate 3, right? Fallout 1 and 2 were games that a lot of people didn't play. They didn't age particularly well, but that's also that happened with Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 as well, right? They're kind of in the same vein. But Baldur's Gate 3 modernized what made those first two games great to an audience that their whole marketing campaign for Baldur's Gate 3 was jump into the game that a lot of people didn't think that this game was for them. I want a Fallout in that type of style. And I want Obsidian to make it. I don't want to wait for Fallout 5. I'll be dead by then. I just turned 36. There's no way I'm making it to 45. Look at me. I want a isometric, top-down. They already make Pillars of Eternity. Let Obsidian make a really, really good adventure-style Fallout game. And then Bethesda will make Fallout 5, and it'll be a first-person shooter. That's fine. But I want... Baldur's Gate 3 proves that that style of game is still very popular if done right.
Yes. But let me ask you this. Fallout's usually about you're a loner wandering the wasteland. Do you want to have a party like Baldur's Gate 3?
You're not a loner in Fallout. You always have a companion. In Baldur's Gate 3, you only have two companions.
Yeah, you have a whole crew. You have a whole crew.
You do have a whole crew, but you only roll deep with two of them. I would be fine if they figured out a way to make it where... I mean, it doesn't have to be Baldur's Gate 3. There's still two people.
That was just my question.
Yeah. No,
is Fallout 4 the game? I cannot remember what this is, but one of these games, you can take a quest and get the dog.
Yeah.
And then you don't need to make it a companion because you just never finish that quest. And then you can have another companion, so it's a hack to get two companions.
Oh.
What game is that?
The 3?
No, because I don't think the dog follows you. If you don't,
I think it's a Fallout game, but it might not even be a Fallout game. It might be Skyrim or something. But there's one of those RPGs where you don't need to finish a quest, and then you have a hack to get a party and get a dog and a human.
Not familiar. Dog attacks, I don't know.
It's like in Breath of the Wild when you were able to scan in Wolf Link whenever you wanted. But you could do that. Recent game too. Nobody did it.
I just don't want to wait for Fallout 5. They need to figure it out. But Xbox can make the call, I assume, to just be like, sorry, Todd, we're not waiting for you to finish Elder Scrolls and its DLC and then start Fallout 5. We're giving this to somebody else to make something else. Fallout
I don't
New
want
Vegas
to hear
2.
The word Starfield DLC out of your mouth again, okay?
No, I don't want it. I don't. Whatever. We're not going to start. I just want more Fallout.
The thought did occur to me when I was watching Fallout. It's so, like, that world is so interesting and funny. Mm-hmm. They can't, like, what's Starfield? It's not anywhere on the, it's just like.
Oh boy, here we go.
I'm just saying, like, I'm sorry. How did they go from Fallout 4 to Starfield, which is just lifeless and boring and nothing? Like,
no.
I don't get it.
What was it? It's NASA Punk? Is NASA that what it was
punk.
Called?
Yeah, it's NASA Punk, yeah. Like, has anybody here seen the Apple TV show Hello Tomorrow?
No.
I would highly recommend it. I forget his name. Anyways, he's from the morning show. But it's basically Fallout. It takes place in the 50s, but the cars float. There's robots. There's stuff like that. But the main character is he's basically a Vault-Tec salesman. He's selling plots of land on the moon. And the whole show, you're just like, is this like actually a thing? Yeah, and it's because the Earth is like, and it is so good. And I actually can't believe that they got away with it without, you know, the rights of Fallout being like, this is a little too close, but it's really great. If you want more Fallout and you finish the Fallout show, watch Hello Tomorrow. It's really, really good.
Also Silo.
Also Silo, yeah. But look, you see his tie just kind of like automatically went up. Like, this is Fallout.
Cool.
But it's just, there's no violence. Like, it takes place from the perspective of essentially of the Vault-Tec salesman. Yeah, no violence. I'm sorry. It's so good. I love this show. This show's great.
All right.
Billy Creed up there, I guess.
Before we continue, Scoop Nation, have you ever wanted to join the dark side? Well, now your taste buds and stomach can with the Star Wars Dark Side Hot Stuff by Truff. This is an officially licensed Star Wars product paying homage to Darth Vader's story and legacy. Its combination of fiery ghost peppers with the richness of black winter truffles might just tempt you to the dark side. Not only that, but it comes in a collectible gift box full of intricate details on the packaging. On the box, you'll notice the Imperial crest surrounded by a smoky veil, while the matte black bottle is crowned by a cap inspired by the iconic Sith Lord's helmet. You can pick one up exclusively from the IGN store through our partnership with Truff, starting April 24th for $39.99, just in time for May the 4th. Truff's Star Wars Dark Side hot sauce is available only in the IGN store. Just go to IGN.com/Truff to get a taste of the power of the dark side. Okay, Sam, in addition to mini shoot adventures, are you still playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth?
Well, I'm where Mark is, you know, it never ends. But no, after that date with Tifa, I took a break to play mini shoot, and I can't stop playing it. But afterwards, I will get back. So, I don't have a Final Fantasy update right now. You know, everything went great. Tifa gave me a hug.
No.
That's all you can ask for.
No, you can ask for a kiss, it turns out. That's called the intimate date, which I did not. Nick Lamone got without even any last week.
That's because it's Nick Lamone, man.
Well, the question around Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is it kind of a dud? We don't really know. Square Enix has not released any sales data now that we're like 2 months out from it. But they did release sales data for all the previous Final Fantasy games.
Yeah.
So, for example, with Final Fantasy 16 last summer, which is also PS5 exclusive, they said it sold over 3 million copies in its first week.
Right.
Going back further, Final Fantasy VII Remake, it sold 3.5 million copies in 3 days. And then Final Fantasy 15 sold 5 million units in its first day. So they did report all these numbers, even though these numbers seem to be going down.
Mm-hmm. I have a theory.
Yes.
And I think it's because, like, this isn't Final Fantasy VII sequel, right? This is part two of a larger single adventure. Yeah. And the number of people who I've talked to who are like, I have to go back and finish part one was almost everybody. And I think that might be why sales off the starting block could be a little slow for part two, because people, you need to finish part one if you want to start part two.
Yep.
Like, it's non-negotiable. It's one of those things where you kind of have to do it. And it's part one's a 45 hour game.
It's very long.
plus the DLC, which is also honestly kind of mandatory. That adds another like 9 hours. Like, it's a hefty game, and you kind of have to play it in order to start the second one. And so I feel like I would not be surprised if this is like a long tail game where, like, as more and more people finish part one, they're gonna be like, well, that was great. Time to pick up part two and finally start this other 90 plus hour adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's tough because I think when it comes to remake, like, everyone knows the intro to Final Fantasy VII, right? And so it's like, to be able to see that, like, super modernized, I think that that draw was a lot more. I didn't play Rebirth super early, but people on my team did, and they're like, yo, this, like, parade scene's bringing back memories. And I'm like, man, I barely remember that stuff. I remember the beginning of Final Fantasy VII fondly. Also, there's something to say about the fact that Remake did come out, like, during a pandemic, like, right at the start of the pandemic. So, like, I you know, if you were just, like, looking for a real meaty game while you were trapped inside, where,
this,
like,
game had, like, Rebirth mainstream is. Hype, though. Like, it was on, like, you know, New York Times and NPR and stuff, like, all the time. Like, people were really talking about this game, and it was, you know, marketed heavily. I just, like, I'd be really surprised if it had low sales numbers, and it could be the pandemic thing, but, man, That's a strange result from this.
Which, yeah.
A critically acclaimed game, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, it could have been word of mouth, right? Like Baldur's Gate, like, you know, it launches, and then, like, a month later, everybody's like, this is the best game I've played this year, maybe ever. And this game, a bunch of people, it launched, and then, like, nobody, like, came beating down my door. It's like, you gotta play Final Fantasy VII. It was like, our biggest Final Fantasy VII fans absolutely loved it, but, like, when the general public hit this, it didn't spawn a bunch of, like, interesting memes and people discussing it and stuff like that. People just didn't get far in it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'll just say, like, when you're playing Remake, like, the beginning of the game, like, everybody knows the Final Fantasy VII, like, battle theme, right? And at the beginning of Remake, it does this thing where it plays hints of the battle theme, but it doesn't actually ever give it to you until, like, 2 hours in, and, like, every moment of that game, I was just like, man, it's just nostalgia overload. We talked about weaponized nostalgia. This game just, like, beat you over the head with it. And then when I played Rebirth, I was like, yep, this is more Final Fantasy VII Remake. It just did not hit me the same way.
Well, I mean, it's funny how focused you are on music, for one thing, Mark.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. It's not a bad thing. But I also, like, just remembering, like, the key points of, like, the remember this, guys, the Cactuar stuff in Rebirth is insane. There's so many Cactuar jokes, and they get more and more and more and more, and finally you're just on these, like, main missions about Cactuar, and you're like, what is happening? Why is they're like we got to take Cactuar to its logical extreme. It is unbelievable how much Cactuar is in this.
Yeah, I don't want to harp on it. I like the game, and if you like the game, like, the people that like it, that's awesome. I stopped doing the thing.
It's just a lot of it.
Yeah, I stopped doing the thing a long time ago where I'm like, I have to beat this. If a game starts to feel like a chore, I'm done. And especially with the way this year's been, the moment I was more or less over this game, I was just like, I don't care. No one's making me beat this, so maybe I'll come back eventually.
There are a couple other reasons why Rebirth may not have made as big of a splash. Mark, you mentioned the pandemic, but also when it arrived, it was 7 years into the PS4's lifespan at that point, so you just had a bigger install base.
Everybody had one.
Yeah.
Yep.
But also, Final Fantasy VII Remake already came out, and, like, that sounds pretty. It's Final Fantasy VII Remake. It doesn't say, like, chapter one or part one, but the sequel to that is called Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Mm. So I don't know. There may be some confusion there.
Well, and then there's also Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core Remake that just came out, like, a year ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's also even people who are just waiting for part three and just be, because I think they're saying that three might be the last one, or three or four might be the last
one. I think
it's
supposed to be three
will be the last one.
I think three is the last one.
But that's still, like, 3 years away.
3 years away. Like, I don't know. I feel like there might be even, like, a small contingent who are like, you know what? I'm just going to do all three of them.
I waited this long.
Yep.
That's like 200 hours a game, man. That's.
I mean, you know, there's going to be some package with all of it together someday.
Yeah. On PS6.
Let me ask you this, Sam. In spite of all this that we've just talked about, is it also possible that Square Enix just overestimated how many people did want a remake of Final Fantasy VII?
Mm. Yeah, that's possible. I mean, I think that, you know, they know that it's their most popular nostalgia play
yeah.
10 years ago or 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But like, we're already at the point where, like, you know, a lot of people played 10 first and a lot of people mm-hmm. played,
yeah,
obviously 14 and stuff like that. So like, I don't think seven, and then seven, you know, we all saw the critical cratering of seven where it was like everybody's favorite game ever. And then it mm-hmm. went down to like, this game's not as good as you remember it. Mm-hmm. And then it went down even below that for a while, which is just like, avoid Final Fantasy VII with critics, right? So like, there's been a lot working against Final Fantasy VII for a long time. That said, the people that love Sephiroth, that love, you know, Cloud, like they're out there, but you know, it's just that audience didn't grow over necessarily.
Yeah.
I think mm-hmm. it kind of just stayed the same. Or shrunk.
Yeah,
there's an alternate universe where instead of stretching Final Fantasy VII Remake to be 40 hours for what is essentially, you know, 10 hours of the original game, there's an alternate universe where they said, you know what, we're taking out all that, for lack of a better term, bloat, and we are just, that it is one game start to finish, and it's just going to be 50 hour long RPG mm-hmm. that tells the entirety of, like, there's a world where they took that route, and I wonder, yeah,
and
I wonder if that was better
5 years after it was announced, which would have been 5 years ago, right?
No.
So that would have been like, you know, that was the crucial time. But that, I mean, again, that said, like, there's so much press coverage of this, and like so much like the wistful nostalgia that I heard about this, like in the general public, that like what was weird was watching Helldivers be the thing that everybody mm-hmm. talked about. Instead yeah. of Final Fantasy and yep. Power, right?
Yep.
So like, there was games that everybody talked about, but people only talked about this until it came out, and all yep. those games people talked about after they came out. So mm-hmm. that's we're in a really interesting time where stuff like that happens, you know, where it's like we all talk about the Halo TV show so much until it comes out, and then like it's fine, but well, it doesn't become the thing everybody cares about. And there's just a second season of that show.
Three games that like we're putting resources towards, right, is like Manor Lords, Stellar Blade, and Sandland come out. Fallout just blows them all out. Like Fallout, as far as like,
well, we
what
don't know.
People. Well, These I just
games
mean
are
like
out tonight.
I just mean like as far as like Twitter excitement and buzz, it just seems like Fallout is like the thing, right?
Well, and arguing about Stellar Blade, you got to give Stellar Blade credit for arguments.
Yeah, nobody's talking about the damn game. They're just talking yeah. about the controversy.
I do know that people are super hyped for Manor Lords. Like, I think that yeah. game's going to be, I think it's a mega hit. And, like, I think next week, you know, if we're talking about this on the show, it'll be really interesting to see where the conversation goes with that. Because it's not going to be, it might not be a meme-filled, like, crazy thing, but I bet it'll be, like, the top of Steam charts.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, right?
Yeah.
It's on Game Pass, right? So it's like, I think a lot of people are going to play that.
I don't know.
I still
want to
try
Manor Lords. What is
everyone says it's like a city building, but like kind of mixed in with like grand strategy.
Like
but everyone that plays
good.
it
looks
really
good.
Likes it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Our staff is super into this game.
Hmm. Yeah. I have not picked it up, but everyone I've talked to is like, "Yo, Manor Lords is really good." It's one of those games where it's like you're gonna get addicted to it, and that's why
I see
off.
A screenshot, I'm like, "Oh, this game is so pretty," and I think it's the new Kingdom Come Deliverance because both those games look amazing. And the stuff we showed of the Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, did you guys watch that stuff? Like that trailer,
mm-mm.
Holy smokes! It like the open world forest stuff that they show in that, like that game. That's on my fall list now. Check it out. It's really cool looking, you know, and they say like it's full of secrets, you know, great huge areas to explore. Like it just looks like it looks awesome.
But other than the medieval setting, they're like separate games, like tonally, right? Like Manor Lords is
yes.
like a peaceful
yeah, yeah.
build your settlement
Kingdom
kind of thing.
Even Kingdom Come looks like it's going towards that maybe RPG type
right.
thing now.
Okay.
Mm.
I don't know how different it is from the original. I mean, I didn't play the original. I watched them talk about it for half an hour, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, in any case, I like Final Fantasy VII Rebirth a lot. I hope it does find an audience to justify all the money that Square Enix spent on that game, which had to have been a lot.
Well, and we want it to be wrapped up, right?
Yeah. Yes, actually, yeah. Do not leave us hanging. Don't pull a Half-Life 3 with us on this one.
Oh my gosh.
All right, that brings us to Video Game 20 Questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Jacob in an undisclosed location. He says, you'll either find guessing this game incredibly easy or completely impossible. But if anyone can figure it out, GameScoop can. After all, this game is redacted.
Just like his location. I love when they're in witness protection.
And with that,
he redacted his own location?
Let the questioning begin.
Wait, David, he redacted his own location?
He did. He just never offered it.
Oh, okay. All right.
I wouldn't. If I emailed it, I wouldn't give my location.
Sometimes they tell the city that they're in.
Oh, sure.
It helps us because, you know, if a console wasn't super popular in a certain era and a certain region.
What were people in the mid-90s in Arkansas playing?
I know, it's like Europe, you know. Europe is really big on Genesis.
True that, yeah.
Let the questioning begin. Let's do, was this a console exclusive?
No. Well, hold on. I want to say, no, it is not a console exclusive.
Oh, because it could be PC exclusive. Like he's saying, it's not exclusive to a console. Okay, so is it PC exclusive?
Yes.
There we go. All right.
Nice.
Did this game come out after January 1st? Let's say 2010.
Yes.
All right. 14 years to narrow down.
Wow, not a tremendous amount of PC exclusives over the past 14 years.
Yeah.
So, lots of strategy, right?
Yeah. Cause is this a
strategy or sim game?
No.
It's like, I can't imagine, like, it could be an MMO. I can't imagine, like, a shooter. I can't think of any.
Maybe it's like a casual browser game or something like that.
Oh, hold on. I got one. Is this a online PvP game?
I don't think it's PvP. That's 5.
Okay. Hmm. An online game, but not necessarily PvP. Gets rid of a lot of PC games.
Yeah.
It's not PlanetSide.
Yeah. Can you play this game through Steam?
Yes.
All right, so not sim, not PvP.
Did this game also appear on mobile?
No.
Is this game an
MMORPG? We gotta figure out what.
No.
Not an MMORPG.
Is it some kind of shooter? Do you shoot in the game?
Yes.
Oh.
All right.
But
cool.
Not a PvP shooter.
But not a PvP.
Online. What would that even mean? What type of shooters would that be?
I mean, it could be
like Left 4 Dead.
Like, yeah, yeah, Left 4 Dead, Wolfenstein, game. You know, and a lot of them actually. But I, yeah.
Wolfenstein's not multi.
Well, so was it? This is not multiplayer, or did this have a PvP element?
I don't. It's online, but there's no PvP.
I didn't say it was online.
Oh, never mind. It's not online or PvP.
Not PvP. No.
So if it's not PvP, the only option would be PvE. So that's what we got to figure out.
We don't know if it's a multiplayer game.
Yeah, we got to figure out, is this a multiplayer game, Damon? Like, can you play with your friends?
No, that's 10.
Okay. No. All right.
Okay. So shooter.
Could it play by yourself. A shooter because it's Portal, you know?
Like, right. Right.
Yeah,
that's not exclusive though.
Yeah, Portal's on PS3.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah, I'm trying to. So we got to figure out perspective.
Half-Life isn't like Half-Life Alyx.
Technically, that is exclusive because it's only on VR. Mm-hmm. Do you play this game in first person?
Yes.
All right.
Are there aliens in this game?
No.
Oh. Wow.
Not Half-Life. First person,
exclusive.
PC only, no PvP, or no like multiplayer, but exclusive? Like, I can't imagine something coming out and it not just getting ported to consoles for some reason.
Maybe it's not like a first person shooter per se, but something super goofy. And then first person that you shoot. Something's throwing us off
here. Yeah.
Is this a licensed game?
No.
Matt, can you examine why Damon's smiling so much?
I'm looking. I'm in the room. I'm not picking up on anything. Hold on.
Matt, you're a secret weapon here. You usually get the.
Is that true? I have to look back at my win loss record on these things.
Just try to give you some confidence.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Don't look into whether or not it's true. It's just.
I think you've come in at the last minute before.
A PC.
I think we've called you into an episode at the actual last minute. Like, Matt, come in here and play.
Woof. That's a tough one.
So,
is this game part of a series? Does it have like sequels, stuff like that?
No.
What is this game?
A one-off PC exclusive for.
Is it an indie game?
Yes, that's 15.
Oh my god!
And at this point, I was just reminded that there's a hack that can be used.
Yeah, what? What's the hack?
Have we mentioned this game already?
Yes.
What? I can't remember what I talked about 5 minutes ago. Who mentioned this game? Well, it's not Fallout. It's not any of the Fallouts.
Did we talk about any indie games while we were during this episode?
Oh, yeah, indie.
Balatro. Is it Balatro?
No, it's Balatro.
Balatro's not.
When I think Balatro, I think first person shooter.
Yeah, that's what I think too. It's also definitely a PC exclusive.
Well, you got me stumped.
And what did we say where it's coming out? It's Mandalords, Stellar Blade, Sandland. Those are not the. So it's not those. Can't be Fallout.
But I think he means during 20 questions, but we should have narrowed that.
Oh. I thought it was during the episode at all.
Oh.
Was this said during the episode at all? Sorry, was this said during 20 questions?
Yes.
Oh my god.
The game?
We've said the game? Yeah. I can't believe this. I don't even remember.
I mean, it can't be.
Does Half-Life Alyx not have aliens in it?
That's not indie.
It's not indie, yeah, it's Valve.
Sure it is.
It's made by.
It's not published by EA.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny, like, when you take it like that, there are certain like Baldur's Gate 3, I think, is self-published, so I think that's right. Technically an indie.
Is this a VR game?
No.
Okay, well then they're.
Well, yeah, I don't. Yeah. I didn't actually.
No. Well.
Okay, one question and a guess.
What? I can't. We've been doing 20 questions for like 5 minutes, and I can't think of any game we've talked about. An indie shooter. That we've
mentioned. What about Wolfenstein? Was there a Wolfenstein that was only on PC?
Not indie. Published by Bethesda.
It's a very silly one. Is there... did we exhaust all kind of like publisher options? Should we just ask if you play as a human or...
I feel like if I knew we were playing as a human, I don't feel like it would get us any closer.
Damn. What about Left 4 Dead? That's online.
It's online.
Online.
Did we eliminate online games?
We did. I was like, I mentioned PlanetSide, but that's straight up a PvP game. So I was like, no, there's no way it's that.
I don't even know what that is.
It's like an old first-person like shooter, kind of like Battlefield, but like futuristic.
Well, what would help jog our memories? Is there anything about, you know, we said you don't, there's no aliens. Do we need to eliminate, you know, robots, zombies, and or ask if it's a sci-fi game or something like that?
We said it's a shooter, but like And I don't know if this would help, but like, are you shooting a gun? I don't know. What else would you shoot? I don't know. Like, if he said no, I would. I feel like I would not be any closer.
Well, in the interest of wrapping this up and failing in the worst way possible, Mac, can you think of a good final question?
No, I feel like a lot of my guesses have already been kind of eliminated by the other guesses. Like, I was going to say No Man's Sky, but there's definitely aliens in that one, so...
There's some aliens in that one, also, yeah. On
Are
every...
Are they truly aliens if you're the alien?
Also on every platform aliens. Imaginable.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah, that's right.
The single most important thing to know is that you have said the game.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
Right, but it's like...
so mad.
I know, because I'm what like...
What if the name of the game is just something that we keep on saying over and over? That's like a phrase. And that's why Damon was smiling.
That would be funny. Trying to think. An indie PC exclusive shooter...
I got nothing. I'm out. I really don't know.
We'll ask if you play as a human and then we'll end it.
Okay. Sure. Do you play as a human in this game?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah, I got nothing.
I've learned nothing.
No guess.
That unlocks nothing.
Come on, we gotta have a guess.
We should have a guess. Okay.
But it's like, okay, we know it's not
what you
like
know, you
we know it's
guess.
Nothing from Valve. So that we know it's not PvP. We know it's not last 14 years shooter. You play as a human, only single player. I feel like if I just keep saying words, it'll come to me. But it's not.
Is there just a game called Shooter or something like that?
I don't think so. There was a game called Gun back in the day.
Yeah, well, that was on PS3.
I don't know. I don't have a guess. It sounds like a Sniper Elite game or something.
I really don't.
We didn't mention that game at all.
Okay. I will reveal the game, though.
All right.
This game was released last month, and it is a zombie survival game. And as Jacob said, you'll either find this game incredibly easy or completely impossible. After all, this game is Redacted. And that's the name of the game.
Oh, what?
Never even heard of this.
I apologize. I know that was mean, but I could not resist.
No,
and I tried to give you as many hints as possible.
Ridiculous.
Wow. Yeah, no, I've never even heard of this game.
Well, I know. I knew you would not have heard of it. That's why I tried to give you as many hints as possible.
That's great.
Got him. He got us. You literally told us the name of the game.
The game is called Redacted.
That's funny.
That's so
well, it's
funny.
Nice because we don't need to include this in our official stats because this is more of a 20 question spinoff.
This is like an escape room more than a 20 question.
It's supposed to be zombie survival. It has mixed reviews. It has a mixed reception on Steam. So
I'm aware of this game though. Like I do remember seeing the name of it. Yeah.
I'm not. I mean, to be honest, it kind of looks all right. Like this idea of like moving furniture and stuff. Kind of looks all right, but.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, I was here, so it didn't count.
Nicely attempt. Thank you for
that. Well, I just want to point that we did get to the point where we were talking about, like, could this game be named?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I was really scanning everybody's speech at that point to try to see what thing we're saying over and over.
You were looking back at the transcript.
But even the Mind Palace couldn't solve this one.
Yeah.
It was a riddle. Yeah. I like riddles. Riddles are good.
Well, thank you for being... good sports. Viewers, listeners, if you have your own suggestions for 20 questions, even if they're evil, like Jacob's suggestion, you can email them to me at gamescoop@ign.com. And that is all the scoops that we have for you this week. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Sam. And thank you to Joe and Mariah working behind the scenes to make this episode possible. My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop, and we're out.
I never told you I was broken, that I never
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.